As a TGC listener, we know you care deeply about sharing the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And as chaos, coercion, and conflict increase around the globe, many believers find themselves searching for hope, longing for clarity, looking for meaning, and desperate for peace. Maybe you feel this way too. You're not alone. In a world marked by conflict, one thing brings ultimate peace: the gospel of Jesus Christ. Together, we can help usher in this peace around the globe through translation projects or convening networks in places like Kenya, India, and China. TGC's international work exists to give as many people as possible access to gospel-centered resources in their native tongues. And we need your help. Will you join us in helping to spread this gospel of peace throughout our confused and chaotic world? Today, we invite you to partner with TGC to strengthen the global church and equip believers to be effective ministers of the gospel wherever they live. With the support of generous Christians like you, we can continue providing trusted and timely resources to Christians and non-Christians searching for answers in their languages. Visit tgc.org/peace today to help bring the peace of the gospel to some of the hardest to reach parts of the world. That's tgc.org/peace.
Hey guys, welcome to a special bonus episode of Let's Talk, a podcast for women from the Gospel Coalition Podcast Network. I am Jackie Hill Perry, and I am here with the beloved saints by the names of Jasmine Holmes and Melissa Kruger to talk about living life, the Christian life to be exact, in a pandemic. The last time we were together was a little while back, Melissa.
Feels like it was a long while back.
It sure does.
We were together recording these last January. We had plans for the year, hopes for the year,
dreams
yep. for the year. And then this little disease happened called COVID, and all of our worlds changed dramatically. I remember, I think I'd heard about it in January.
For sure.
My husband actually had ordered mask, and I laughed at him.
Oh, he was ahead of the game.
He had ordered mask, and then in February he bought Clorox wipes and hand sanitizer, and again I laughed at him. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll send those to school next year, you know, when they ask for all that stuff to come in for school. And then I was hugging and kissing him and saying, you are the best husband ever, when March hit, because we had all these supplies. So tell me how your life changed dramatically. I guess it all started March, really, when everything changed. What happened in your worlds?
I had a book launch party planned in March, which it went. We had the party, and then the next day, Mississippi was like, no more gatherings over, I think it was like 50 people. And then that next Sunday, there was no church. And then
it was quick.
We didn't go back to school after spring break, and everything just changed really quickly.
Yeah. It was like a daily.
Yeah.
Every day it got a little bit worse and a little bit worse.
And I didn't expect it to do that, because I remember seeing it on the news, and it was like, oh, two people got COVID in New York. And it's like, oh, okay, you know, until I was at home and I had an event cancellation. My assistant had called me. He was like, hey, they canceled this event because of COVID. And then the following event was like, yeah, they canceled this event because of COVID. And then the third event, oh, they canceled this event. And it wasn't the cancellation of the events. It was the, oh, this is for real. Like, this is a serious little thing. And then my daughter's school sent an email like, yeah, they won't be returning back to school. And I'm like, oh, so this, so what we, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was just like, I don't know what this means. I've never seen anything like this before. And how do you even plan for that?
Yeah. It was like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, we were getting ready to go on spring break. We had been looking forward to this time with our kids. And we were actually, my husband grew up skiing, and so we were taking them all the way to Colorado. We've been looking forward to this, all this stuff. He calls the ski place we were going that day, and they said, we are committed to remaining open. This is a Saturday. We fly all the way out there. We drive up the mountain. And we get, as soon as we're opening the door to this condo place we rented,
right,
I get the blip. The governor has closed all the ski slopes in the state.
Oh my goodness.
And we were like, this is for real. And then we felt like the worst parents. Like, we have been on these planes. We felt like germs were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we were hand sanitizing everything. And I mean, it was just so stressful. Mm-hmm. Like, we got home, and that's when the kind of quarantine started. Yeah. And we were like, good, we're never going anywhere again. Because mm-hmm. it was such a, yeah, we literally flew out there. We ate, we laugh. We're like, we flew to Colorado to have a meal at Chipotle, and then we flew all the way back.
That's wild. That's memorable.
It was, yeah, it was, but it went so quickly.
Yeah.
It was just this, you know, and I've never seen anything like it. I don't know. I mean, like this, I mean, 9/11, I remember that very distinctly. But this changed everyone's life mm-hmm. in the whole world. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And then when you start to see the rise in deaths, I think that's what sobered me up, where it yeah. wasn't just like this novel virus that's affecting, you know, our toilet tissue supply. It was like, nah, like this is like. This is destroying, and it sounds dramatic, but truly, this is changing people's lives and families, and the fact that people weren't able to attend funerals. Yeah. You know, they were putting bodies in mass graves, and I'm just like, this feels like a movie mm-hmm. that I didn't pay to watch.
So it affected so many things in all of our lives. How did it specifically affect your work? You were hearing from your assistant, you know, pretty early on, it sounds like.
March, hey, yeah.
These things are canceled. But how did it affect what you were doing work-wise, family-wise? How did it affect your life?
I mean, I started teaching online, and we had our eighth graders. We had all kinds of things planned. Like, we were going to do a Harry Potter book club this summer and, you know, watch all the movies together. And all of that just left. And then I think probably Jackie can relate to this, but being a writer and trying to write from home.
Impossible.
With two children.
It's yeah, just it's just like, not a thing.
How is this going to happen? Like, how, what are we going to do? And every day my 4-year-old is like, hey, mom, where are we going today? And I'm like, nowhere. Nowhere.
I'm going in the living room, bucko.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Did you get together with other people? Or, I mean, you know, because that, for me, when I had young kids, was a huge outlet to, like, go see one other mom with a young kid. But did you stay away? I mean, during that initial season, I feel like everybody was much stricter.
They were.
March yeah. and April.
I took a lot of, like, walks with other moms. That's a good idea. Because there was a time where I remember sitting in therapy, and I was like, I just feel like I'm falling apart and my life is meaningless. And she was like, I think maybe you need to get out of the house. And I was like, but it's coronavirus. She was like, put on a mask and get out of the house. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'll try. But yeah, I definitely needed to be more purposeful about removing myself from just the regular everyday, because every day just starts to kind of look the same and yep. flow into each other.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out when it was the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you don't even have church. No. Yeah, that grounds right. you. And right. when that went online, yeah. it was just so weird. I mean, I went way too long without a shower.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Is it Tuesday or Saturday? Yeah, I don't know.
I put on real clothes because we're back at work now. We're teaching in masks and face shields. And so I put on real pants to go to work, and my husband was like, you look so beautiful today. And I was like, I have a waistband on my pants that's not elastic.
It's like, wow, real clothes.
Again. I know. I can do this. I can do this. I can brush my hair.
Yeah, I think for me, I have several jobs, if you will, but one of them is obviously traveling to teach and speak. And so those cancellations, I wasn't even necessarily mad at, because, you know, it does get exhausting to fly all of the time. Mm-hmm. I think the major adjustment was I'm also a writer. And like Jasmine said, trying to write with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old that wants everything all of the time, even if unnecessary. She took my 2 graham crackers. All right, take 2 back. I don't know. Like, it just made writing or concentration difficult. Mm-hmm. But I also realized that the lack of being able to go out and explore and do life with other people, it affected my creativity.
For sure.
And I didn't know why. I was like, I can't think imaginatively as I used to. I don't know what this is. And it's like, oh, because I'm doing the same thing every day with the same people. And so there's something about being in community and just exploration that just, I don't know, was inhibited by this.
That's a really good point. You forget about how much happens when you're in conversation with people. And like one little comment someone says sparks an idea. And then you think, oh, I should go research that more and think through that more. Yeah. And it's like we forget when you're with the same four or five people all the time. That's a really limited perspective.
Yes. And we've stopped talking because what else is there to say at this point?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Did you wash your hands? Do you have sanitizer in your bag? Got your mask on.
It's like a COVID exposure is like the most excitement that anybody has right now, which is awkward. Like, oh, we had a COVID, like one of our relatives got COVID and we saw them. And so we had to go get a test and everything. And I was like, this is so bad that I'm like, wow, okay, this is exciting. I'm gonna go out of the house and I gotta get a test. Like, let's okay. Let's see what's going on. And I was like, wow, my life is dull. The fact
when,
that's when like
doctor
an event
become the,
like, yes. I was like, while I was there, I was like, could you like check my thyroid? Let's talk.
How did y'all churches, navigate it all? And I'm only learning this via Twitter, but it seemed like everybody's churches kind of, you know, navigated this differently.
Yeah, we've had, we went online. We've just started having like a few test groups of people go back a couple months ago. And so now it's like you register to go to church. And when all the seats are filled and they're filled and the rest of us have to go online at home. And they're doing some Zoom stuff, some social distance stuff. And yeah, it's just been just weird, just weird.
Yeah, we were fortunate that we already had a setup to record it. I don't know why. I mean, because it's not like it's being played anywhere during the week, but they already had the setup. So that was nice. When we initially began, we were all online. And then I feel like they started going back. Thankfully, we have a huge sanctuary, and so it can probably hold 1500, so they could have 400 in there, really socially distanced, and it's a tall ceiling, so you feel like the air, you know, you're not breathing in everyone's air. And they just ask people to wear a mask, but it's been the sign up, you know, so like this week Mike tried to sign up, by Tuesday it was already full.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's that weird, oh, we can't go to church. We're online this week. Yeah, so you go back and forth about what you can do. But it's been nice to just have some break to get to go sometimes, even if we don't go every week. But how are y'all doing it with young kids? Because do they have nursery or you just take them in there?
We haven't been back.
Well, our church isn't open yet.
Okay.
We haven't been back.
Yeah. They do like the Zoom sermon thing. I will say, you know, some people might think that this is not being loyal. It was kind of fun to venture into the pews of different churches because of this. And so churches that I don't visit or pastors that I know of, so like Charlie Dates Church in Chicago, I would zoom in and watch his services. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm, you know, part of a Chicago church plant now. And so I think that was kind of cool to be able to just see and be edified by like different church leaders around the country that I wouldn't otherwise listen to on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. It's been cool to see just the creativity of people in ministry coming up with new like concepts and pushing things out. Like I'm even thinking about your pastor's podcast, Windows and Mirrors.
Yeah.
I've started reading the Bible in a year with them, and I don't know if I've never stuck with a reading the Bible in a year plan ever. Like never. I've started them like throughout my life.
When do you stop?
I usually stop after Genesis. I'm going to be real with you. I get past the creation story.
You don't even
story.
Get to Exodus.
No, because I'm just like, I want to go to Colossians. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I'm just like, I want to go somewhere else.
I want to go after the resurrection.
Right. I'm just like, I just want to be every. But we are in Numbers. We're at the end of Numbers.
Good
like,
job.
Look at me go. I'm at the end of Numbers. But
so is it chronological?
It is.
Oh, that's hard.
It is.
Because you don't get to the New Testament normally till like October.
Right. Which is like, I'm like, I don't know. And I'm trying to be more stable in my Bible reading, because normally I'm very like emotionally like I just want to be in the Psalms today, like I want to be inspired by Ruth right now. And so it's good, but I do think that like if it hadn't been for the pandemic, I may not have did something that I had time. time, and I was looking for more things to listen to and things to be involved in. And, you know, that's been one blessing.
Yeah, that's a good question. What are the blessings of the season? Because I think there are some. I mean, I know for me, you know, I had just sent my daughter off to college when we were all meeting before, and I thought, you know, she'll never be home again for a long period of time. Well, I didn't expect to be homeschooling college. Mm-hmm. Like, that was definitely never on my plan.
Yep.
But it was so great to have her back. She was supposed to be, she was going to be in Indonesia this summer doing missions work. Mm-hmm. And instead, she worked at Chick-fil-A, you know, and she got to do that and be here. But I got to see her every day.
Yeah.
And so it was actually a real blessing to have that time that I didn't think would come again. Mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of hit the jackpot about kids' ages. You know, I have a 13-year-old, I have a 16-year-old, and I had a 19-year-old. They were fun to have around, and they're actually enjoyable. I get not everybody wants their teenagers in their house all the time, but we got to do things like puzzles. You know, we sat and did puzzles. When do you do that? You know, we never just had time together. Yeah. And so that's one thing I was thankful for.
Yeah, I think it's a few things. I think the first is it's kind of like a forced rest. Because I was thinking about myself this year versus myself last year, and I don't have the same anxieties. Mm-hmm. I don't have the same amount of deadlines and things to do. I feel so much more at ease than I was, and that's delightful. I think the second thing is I've actually had more time with my children. Though I'm self-employed, and so, you know, I think I have more time with them more than the average person that might have a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I still wasn't as present as I could be, because even at home, I was working. And so I was like, huh, I'm not as, like, irritated by them as much. And that's only because I was more irritated because they weren't a mainstay in my schedule, if that makes sense. And so they often felt more like an inconvenience than a joy. But now it's like, sure, you can go to Target with me and I won't be bothered by you. And that sounds negative, but that's just what it is, you know?
Well, and it's with, because Autumn is
two.
And I feel like Langston is going to be two in December, but that's just such a changing, like they change so much between that, like 18 months and two years old. And I've really been enjoying, like, watching his little personality form, and more up close and personal. And I'm, like you, I mean, I only work outside the home 2 days a week, so I'm with them all the time. But even just that extra measure of being with them even more with the pandemic, I've seen, I'm like, oh, you have kind of a cool personality. Mm-hmm. Like, I really, you have a good sense of humor for a baby. Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting with Eden, who's five, when she, when her school went virtual or not, it was interesting to see her and her sister's relationship change. Mm-hmm. And it was observable. It was like, oh, they're like way closer than they've ever been. And I didn't even notice that they weren't that close. But it makes sense. Eden's at school, Autumn's at home, but now they're together and they actually miss each other. And Eden will come down the steps for breakfast and they'll hug. And it's just it's the cutest little thing. I said, oh, this is nice. Like, you know, family
like
fellowship.
Each other.
Yeah.
It's, I know. What the other thing I liked seeing in my neighborhood, I never saw this many people walking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or riding their bikes. You'd see whole families riding your bikes. I never used to see that.
Because outside is a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like the world stopped, but out there. Mm-hmm. But people's home life was better in some ways. I mean, they were actually spending time together.
Because would y'all say that, like, I don't know, that this pandemic has made the simple things special again? You know, meeting with your friends, walking outside, you know, I don't know.
Going to church.
Yeah.
I don't take it for granted. The first time I walked back in the doors of the church, which some Sundays, you know, you're like, I'd like to sleep in. I'd like to not go. And you feel like, you know, all the, to walk in and get to sing with other Christians was such a gift. You realize, wow, what a privilege to get to do this.
Right.
It's made the normal things feel special.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's also reminded me of the privileges that I have, because not everybody's home is a safe environment. Not everybody has high-speed internet to be able to keep doing work. Not everybody was able to, not, some people lost their jobs. Some people have lost loved ones. Some single moms have lost their help. And so it's shown me just the amount of privilege that I take for granted on a day-to-day basis, because honestly, our lives have changed a lot, but they haven't changed as much as other people's lives have been forced to change because of the pandemic. So I've definitely been reminded to be more grateful and more prayerful for other folks. Cause I mean, I've seen pictures on Twitter of like kids having to go to a local fast food restaurant to get Wi-Fi to do school, you know, like just in the fact that we have so many resources at our disposal is something that I took for granted a lot more before the pandemic. That I'm trying to be more grateful for now. Cause our paychecks have not been disrupted. You know, our help hasn't really been disrupted. Like, so there are a lot of things just to be grateful for.
Yeah. Cause that's been hard. And I think particularly I've read some reports that women's work in particular has been greatly affected.
In what way?
Mainly because kids are home. So it seems like it's affected them more in the sense of a lot of them have had to either leave their jobs in order to manage the children. But if you're a single mom you know, and you've got all of a sudden a six-year-old and an eight-year-old home, how are you juggling online school, trying to work your job, getting to it? You know, women, I think, are bearing a really specific burden in this time. I don't know if you've felt this. I've felt this. I've told my husband, sometimes it's just the mental weight.
Yeah.
Because my job continued, because we already work remotely. I was laughing. I was like, I'm a little bit worried because my normal job is like a pandemic job. I sit in my office by myself all day, and we were already Zooming. We already did that. And so, but then I had my kids home. And when the internet would go out and their school stops and we're, or, you know, we didn't have four computers for everyone to be on. So you're trying to figure out these old devices that you're trying to set up so that they can use. It was just the mental weight in some ways of those burdens. Now I had people in my house for lunch, you know, and it's just dishes get left and. Yeah, and I'm the only one who cares. And so then I either have to ask them, we all clean up after yourself, clean up after yourself. I don't know. It was just a different way. It was great to have them. I love having them home, but it did add burdens to my regular work. I don't know if y'all felt that.
Oh, I totally felt that. Yeah. And I kept thinking to myself, is this a new burden? In the sense of when I think of my grandmother, you know, in 1958, who has four children at this point, she already didn't even have all that freedom, you know? And so what I feel as a burden was just life for her, you know? And so I just kept thinking about that. I was like, I feel like so much of my irritation and frustration and discontentment is because I'm a product of the era that I live in, you know?
Which is fair.
Right.
I mean, there's a balance of wanting to be aware that we still have it really good, but then also that doesn't mean that our hardships are not hard.
Technology is rough.
Yeah, it is.
Well, especially because it's
like they didn't have technology.
Yeah.
They didn't have to deal with the internet.
They didn't have Netflix to alleviate their suffering.
And they didn't have at home school. They were just sitting there. They were like, there was no Zoom school. It was like, go to school.
That's real talk. Going down that road.
Yep. I know. I actually thought about that sometimes, though. The fact that we have technology is how we could know the virus was even happening around the world. And then we could know what was happening in Italy when it hit Italy so hard. Because Twitter and all these news agencies, it's so quick. I was thinking about, like, if this had happened 100 years earlier, would it have just come and nothing would have shut down because we wouldn't have known?
One of the interesting things I read about were with other, what do you call them, epidemics? And how so many of them stayed local because there were no planes.
Right.
You know, and so even the technology of like flight is one of the reasons we have this in the way that we do.
Yeah, because if you were on a boat, it would have probably run its course by the time it even got across the ocean.
Yeah, it would stay where it was.
That's a good point.
And the closest thing is like the Spanish flu epidemic. Hi, it's the 8th grade history teacher.
We want to hear about the Spanish flu.
There's a lot of parallels between, because like things did have to shut down. And there was kind of a similar, like, should we have to wear masks? Should we have to wash our hands? Should we? It just is a reminder of like that there's nothing new under the sun. Hmm. Like some of the very same attitudes that we encounter today about the sickness are similar to attitudes that we encountered back then. And it spread. I mean, it spread all over America and it was in other countries too. So
I know it's going to be interesting in 20 years to read the book about this era.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, like what mistakes about. We made, yes. What we should have done differently.
Like, are people going to be like, well, it's so simple. They should have just, whatever.
Oh, of course they will.
Yeah.
We become arrogant the longer away we get from a
absolutely
a decade.
Well, let me ask, as we've been in this season, it's clearly done things to our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And as we've been studying, yeah, you know, like I love what you were saying, that you started reading the Bible through in a year. How has it affected just what you think about God, you know, as you're walking with him? Has it had an impact on what you trust God for, what you go to him for, how you pray?
Yes. It affected us financially in a way that put me in a position of dependence that I have not been in a long time. And I think I thought I trusted God for financial provision. But like, I feel like God showed me that you trusted your calendar. You know, you had all of this stuff lined up that gave you the security mm-hmm. that you would be good. But you've always been good,
yep.
You know, even when you can't see it. And so I think initially when I had the event cancellations and all of that, I sat up in my bed and I like started to cry. And I was like, God, I'm scared. Because we just moved into a house.
Yeah.
You know, we moved into a house at the end of January. Mm-hmm. And then here's March. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay. And I got two children and I have two other adults living in my home. And, mm-hmm. you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, do I feed the birds or not? And are you mm-hmm. more, like, are you worth more than they? If that's true, you'll be okay. You may not have all that you've had. You may not have all of the good things that you want. You may not be able to get coffee every other day, but you'll be fine. I think that's a blessing, mm-hmm. honestly, to have to, I don't know, to have to need God in a way that I've always needed him, but to actually recognize it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That is good. I've just been really thankful. We were maybe like 2 months into quarantine, and I just looked at Philip and I was like, I like you.
Hmm.
And he was like, okay, I like you. I was like, no, think about it. Like, we are on top. Like, we are on top of one another. We're like working from home.
Hmm.
We have two small children. We are the only other adults that we see every day. And I like you. And that's just so, that's nice.
That's a blessing.
That's mm-hmm. good. It's like, mm-hmm. this is such a blessing because I'm sure so many marriages have been impacted. And, you know, not that we haven't had like bickering arguments of just like, I'm just tired of looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
But just, we're going to be married, 6 years in a couple weeks. And it's just been a really sweet time for us to see God's provision in putting us together, just even in the midst of a pandemic, that we are the people that have to make life secure for two little people. And the foundation of that security is our marriage. And even when the world is falling apart, it's still a huge comfort. That's been a really, really big blessing and something that I've been very thankful to God for, because he put us together really fast and we did not know each other well when we got married. And it's been like a roller coaster ride the entire time. And this year has just been like, this has been the most peaceful year of our marriage, which is insane because it's like the craziest year of our life. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. I felt really similarly thankful that I like being with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, although I noticed it seemed like marriages were going one way or the other.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of people who are like, I've been with you too long. And now this is kind of this moment where it's proving
mm-hmm.
that we're out. And we actually had a friend, you know, say, I can't do this anymore mm-hmm. with their marriage mm-hmm. and things. And I wanted to say, don't make a decision in a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like it can show you, I love being with this person. And that's how I felt. I've been so thankful that mm-hmm. we look at each other and we're like, wow, we like this. Mm-hmm. We like being together. I like talking to you about life. I like doing this with you. But I know this is not normal.
Right.
So it's like you want to caution people who don't feel that way
yeah.
to be like, don't leave. just because you don't like to spend 24 hours with them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, just stick it out a little longer, get through this, get some counseling.
We are getting along so well now. And the only reason that I can say that is because, like, our first 3 years of marriage, we were like, what did we do? Oh, I don't know.
Our first 10 years of marriage.
Oh, man. It was just like, what did we do? Who are you? Why? So, yeah, not at all trying to say that, like, if you're not having an idyllic pandemic marriage, because we just got here and it's nice to be here.
Exactly. I think the pandemic has been a light in many ways. A light exposes bad things and good things, you know? And so I think for some, they haven't had to be near each other in such an intense way where they see certain things. And so now you not only see it, but you have to deal with it. And it's the dealing with part that's difficult, because I don't know if I love you enough to deal with it. I don't know if I have the patience to deal with it. I don't, you know what I'm saying? And so I could see why on both ends there's people like, oh, I do love you. And it's like, you know what? I don't. But I didn't realize it because we only went to bed together and that was
right. Right.
Yeah, it puts you face to face again.
It does with
someone, and you are kind of saying, "Huh, you know, do we have anything in common? Do we have anything that we're talking about other than our jobs and our work?" And then it puts you face to face. I think it happens actually to a lot of people when the kids leave. You know, their whole lives were about their kids. I can see that
being a thing.
Yeah, you're going to sports practices together. You're talking about their school. You're doing whatever. And then they leave. And a lot of people start to struggle with the empty nest because they're like.
That's interesting. Which is a good thing. I know it's hard. I don't want to be, you know, super optimistic, but I do want to be someone who exhorts people to see that there's some beauty in the difficult stuff, you know, because God is not revealing anything in vain. Like, he's revealing it so you can lean on him to deal with it. And in dealing with it, then you become closer to your spouse and closer to God in the process.
Yeah. Well, there's been no other relationship where I've learned how the Lord loves me than by learning to love another like that, when you're all in one another's face all the time. And you know, when it says bear with one another in love, or love is patient, love is kind, it's not self-seeking. You know, I can be so self-seeking. I can be like, hold on, you're sitting down on the couch watching a TV show. I'm over here doing the dishes. You know, I can be so looking at my perspective rather than being like, oh, I'm glad he's getting some rest or whatever. And I realize, oh, this is how the Lord loves me. You know, he's always for me. He's always patient to me. He's always kind. He's not keeping a record of my wrongs. He's bearing with me in love. But I can only know what that is really like when I have to love another that way. I don't know. It's marriage is that relationship. And it involves both the good and the hard.
Even friendships. Because I think there's a lot more intentionality that I've had to have with my friends and the maintenance of those friendships.
Especially when single folks, they're alone. Like,
even though all of my friends are single and they don't quarantine at all. It's like, if I see you at another brunch, I don't know what I'm gonna do. That's why you can't come over this house.
Just being by your, you know, I mean, as much as my husband gets on my nerves sometimes, it's like, at least we have a family of four under one roof together. Like, yes, we're on top of each other, but man, that silence of if you're quarantining and you're a single person. So yeah, sorry, I interrupted you. You were saying
you need
to be intentional with friendships.
Yeah, they're just a little harder to maintain or to just even have fun, because you know there was a section of time where I wasn't letting anybody in the house, or vice versa. And I'm pregnant, so I'm high risk, and my mother lives with me, and she's over 60. I'm like, I don't trust y'all. And I saw you at brunch on Instagram when nobody had a mask on. No, ma'am, you can't come over here.
No,
you sure can. But yeah, it's just the text check-in is just, it's shallow.
It is.
It was easier to check in person.
So. Yeah, we do Marco Polo a lot with my friends, and try to, both Marco Polo used to be like completely free, and they started charging like $60 a year, and we paid it. We just noticed we weren't even talking to people, certain people that live far away that were supposed to come visit, that couldn't come visit, or my family, or so we're like, all right, we're gonna pay this.
I know. Did you find out any other creative ways to keep in touch with people?
had a lot of like, I had a Netflix watch party, birthday party. I did. Because they had a little, they have that little watch party app. And then we did like Zoom stuff. Like I went to a couple of Zoom birthday parties. I had, when my son had a drive-by birthday party. Yeah, just a lot of time outside. Like even at school, I do a lot of my classes outside because we don't have to mask up outside because it's hot in Mississippi. So it's just nice to be able to socially distance in a circle as opposed to being in the classroom. Everybody has on masks. I have on a face shield and we're just trying to... It's crazy.
I bet you look very hygienic.
I just look in the mirror and I'm like, how is this your life?
Like, how is this any of my
You were going to work with a shield on your face.
It's a strange... I remember being in Target and somebody was walking past, but they weren't 6 feet away. And so I kind of like stepped back so they can like, you know, move along. And I was like, this is so odd that like all of us are looking at each other like, you better be 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I never even thought like that before.
Or the arrows when people look at you like you went the wrong way.
Down this aisle.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know.
I just wanted to take a shortcut.
I thought I was just going. And then I'm like, people are mad.
Mm-hmm. They are mad.
They're like, serious.
You're supposed to be going that way. And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
They're scared.
Yeah.
They are scared. It's like, but.
Okay. Is there anything, last question, is there anything you feel like you've learned in this season that you want to apply when things go back to normal. Your quote, normal?
Funny thing is, I probably won't apply it.
I know.
I'll try.
I want to keep the gratitude for the awareness of the fact that I have a lot of blessings during this season that I don't need to be taking for granted. Guarding myself from complaining, especially around people to whom my complaints sound ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Huh. That's good. Mine is... Our life slowed down so much. Mm-hmm. You know, we both my husband and I travel and do things. And I realized for a short time, I need to limit my travel greatly. Mm-hmm. You know, I just need to say no more.
Yeah.
We'll get to people pleasing next season. But I need to just be willing to say no. Because I'm saying, you know, by saying no to something else, I'm saying yes to things that really matter sometimes. And I need to do a better job of that. Mike and I also discussed that we both, every like 4 or 5 years, take 6 months where neither of us take any travel.
Hmm.
You know, that we both do it together because it was so nice. You know, often he'll be going place one weekend, I'll be going somewhere the next weekend. And it was just so nice to have weekend after weekend after weekend that we weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And so just to be more thoughtful, we were just saying yes without really thinking through. And it's hard because you're asked like sometimes 2 years in advance.
Yep.
And you don't know what 2 years from now is going to look like. So I'm trying to really think through and do a better job of saying, I can't make that decision until I get my kid's schedule.
Yeah.
And just being okay with the no until I know it's a yes for our family.
That's good. Yeah, I want to stay needy. You know, I just feel... needy now, and I think that's such a good thing because I think it keeps me low. I can make an idol out of productivity often, and so I think for me to not be able to produce as frequently or to get a return on certain investments, and not financial investments, like creative investments, as quickly as usual, it just kind of makes you more like, you know what, God got it. It is what it is. I'll be all right. I won't die. You know, and so I just want to maintain that when things get back to normal and the schedule is able to be filled up again and to say, no, like I'm a rest.
That's so good because it's really hard when you're competent.
Yes.
To just go forward.
Yeah.
And it does. It makes you more prayerful. I mean, I realize I can't make this pandemic go away. I just have to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the passage in James 4 where it says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that. And I feel like if that isn't a word for everybody in 2020, where it's like, man, we need to be content with mystery and know that our plans
are not rooted in someone sovereign. We are not God. And so we cannot control what is to come. And that is not a bad thing mm-hmm. to not know. It's actually, I think, a thing that would give us a lot more peace.
Yeah, it's almost been like we were all Nebuchadnezzar. Staring out at our field saying, look at the wonderful world we've created. Like if I could go back to January,
yeah,
I had all my plans lined up and you know, then next second, next picture, Nebuchadnezzar's eating grass in the field for the next 7 years.
Yep.
And you know, it just, I do think it's been one of those things where God is like, I am still God. Mm-hmm. You know, you humans have done a lot. You've planned a lot. You've built a lot, but he can still turn this world on a dime.
Oh, and he has.
Yeah, and he has. And it's really humbling. He is God. And I love, I mean, it's been pretty amazing because our theme for TGCW is steadfastness. And I'm like, well, I didn't know we were going to get an object lesson.
Right. And then, yeah, you pick out a theme or so, pray for quality. God's like, I got you.
So next theme is joy. That's what we're going to go for next year. Okay, so favorite things. We've had a lot of time this year to be at home. So this week's question is, what is the favorite book you've read this past year?
My favorite thing that I have read this year, I had never read Harry Potter before.
I should have known you were going to talk about witchcraft.
I know, I told you. I said I was about to be worldly. I told you. I
should have known.
So I had never read it because, of course, I'm a good Christian girl, and I was not allowed to read Harry Potter. And so I, at the,
such a bad mom.
I, at the tender age of 30, finally picked up and read the Harry Potter books. And I loved them, and I thought they were so fun. And
so when you say books, you mean all of them?
I read all of them. I read all of them in like 2 weeks.
And they get really, really thick.
They do. And I was just like so invested. And I listened to the Harry Potter podcast.
You were tweeting about it.
Oh, yeah. I was like, do you guys know about these books?
The world does.
I know. And I was like, do you guys know? Have you guys read this? And
everybody's like, J.K. Yes, Rowling
you're
is?
The last one in the world. And then J.K. Rowling got canceled like right after I read
Her books. She did.
But, and I was like, can I still talk about them? Oh, I can. Okay. So yeah, those are the ones that I read. And then I learned about Nanny Helen Burroughs this year, and there's a book of her like speeches and her writings and she was just this amazing, dynamic Black woman. Just like, I love her.
Say her name again.
Nanny Helen Burroughs. They called her like the female Booker T. Washington, but I think she's more dynamic than Booker T. Washington. But so reading her writings has been one of my favorite discoveries of this year.
So by this year, I'm going to mean the last 12 months, not 2020. So I'm a cheat. But the book, I've been talking about it a lot, is Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves.
Oh.
Did I mention this last season? I might have.
I feel like you may have.
I probably did. That's how important it was.
Mention it again. Yeah.
Because this is the thing. Anytime you venture into, I think, Trinitarian doctrine via books, it could just be so heady and confusing. Because the Trinity is already kind of like, okay, one God and three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. Spirit isn't Jesus. Jesus isn't the Father. The Father isn't the Spirit. But how does that work? It just becomes a thing that makes you want to give up. But with Delighting in the Trinity, I felt like it was one of the first books I've read about the Trinity that was not, it wasn't basic in its presentation of like that theological doctrine, but it also wasn't confusing. Yet, even under all of that, it gave me an affection for God, which is so rare to me in like theological academics like books, where it's like, I read it and I was like, ooh, I feel like I love God more.
I love that.
And so that's what makes it really special to me.
I think that's the best compliment you could give a book.
Yes.
It makes me love God more.
Yeah. I know, but I also love. Mm-hmm. And that's a difference.
And the no should yield loving.
It should.
I mean, it's God.
Why is it not a thing?
Yeah. That's good. Well, and I'm not saying this to flatter either of you. I read both of your books this year. And they're both excellent.
Thank you.
Both excellent. So I always say it the wrong way. Gay girl, good God.
Don't blaspheme
now. Yeah, exactly.
Be careful.
by Jackie is excellent. And then Jasmine's book, From Mother to Son. Is it From Mother to Son? Mm-hmm. Both just excellent. And with both of them, I felt like I got to visit with you. So even though I couldn't see you, you know, it felt like I was hearing from both of you.
That's
so
a writer. That's a compliment too to a writer. Good.
But I would say spiritually, a book that really hit me. I've been really struck by this whole. I just feel like we keep watching Christians in our world turn away from the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you're calling it, deconstruction or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, what it does for me is I say, "Dear Jesus, keep me."
Yeah.
And so I read this book by John Flavel. Mm-hmm. He's from the 1600s or somewhere back there. It's called Keeping the Heart, because I really just want my heart to be kept. Mm-hmm. In this world, I just want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. But then the book I would say that was probably the best book I read, we talked about this last night, mm-hmm. was The Warmth of Other Suns. It has been sitting on my nightstand for probably 4 years, and it's really thick. Mm-hmm. And so I kept saying, not yet. And a friend, Jen Oshman, did a book club on it. Mm-hmm. And so that finally made me mm-hmm. read it, because we were doing a virtual book club. So yeah. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. I got to do it. She tells stories so well.
She does.
Weaving all these stories. It's one of the best historical books I've read yeah. because mm-hmm. she does it through story.
Yeah.
And so I just highly recommend it. Anyway, yeah. it was just so well. I love a well-done book.
Yeah.
And it's just well done.
Yeah, really. She has a new book called Cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't read it.
I just started it.
Of course you did. You'll be done by next week.
History teacher.
Well, thanks for listening to this special bonus episode of Let's Talk. Lord willing, hello, James. We will be back with season 2 in the early part of 2021, talking about how to apply biblical wisdom to everyday life. We hope that you will join us then. You can also find all of the episodes from season 1 of Let's Talk at tgc.org/podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. The Gospel Coalition supports the church in making disciples of all nations by providing resources that are trusted and timely, winsome and wise, and centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ.